As we bring in Sean Salisbury, who knows quite a bit about living in Texas, I don't know, is that maybe that's just a Texas phrase. Sean, have you ever heard, don't spend a lot of time circumcising a mosquito?
I've heard a lot of and seen a lot of roaches big enough to circumcise. I'm not quite sure about mosquitoes, but it's Jerry, Sean. So stay tuned.
Jerry.
Well, you know, it's a fine weekend. We have Thursday coming up with the opening of the NFL. And I know with you, Sean, you understand this being a California kid, even though you're in Texas. It's amazing, and I lament this quite a bit, Sean. In Sacramento, particularly, college football does not move the needle at all. But yet where you are, and certainly a couple states east of you, it's all anyone's talking about today. Opening weekend, college football, you had Michigan, you had Notre Dame. You had so many things I saw you commenting on. But first, hey, let's get your thoughts on Ole Miss Florida State last night, shall we?
Well, needless to say, the turnaround was incredible. I don't know if there's a better coach in football, and that's at any level, when it comes to being able to watch your team come out and kind of be sluggish and then go in at halftime. I don't know what Jimbo does at halftime, Jimbo Fisher, but I'm not sure I've ever seen or watched or maybe even been in a locker room with a coach who gets guys to come back out and believe in themselves more. It's uncanny the things that they do and the momentum they change. They did it when Jameis was there. Francois is now doing it. They're athletic. I mean, all the obvious physical skills that they have, but there's something about him. And if you think about the way he attacks offensively, there's a redshirt freshman that nobody knew how good he could be. He knew he was a great high school player. Starts off slow, and most guys' tendency would be, well, back off, let's protect him, maybe use a two-quarterback system. No, Jimbo attacks. He puts the ball in the kid's hand and doesn't care if he fumbled early in the game, doesn't care if he was getting hit and that kid stood in the pocket and gritted his jaw and took a bunch of shots and kept coming. And it's almost like Jimbo challenges him and then wants him to do that. And so, but he's always done that. And there is a common theme here. There's never been a worse, and I'm talking about a worse coach, head coach at dealing with quarterbacks and understanding how to and misusing them more than Les Miles. He's the absolute biggest bonehead when it comes to that. They have the greatest football players on the planet each year, and they don't know how to do it. You know, when they were good throwing the football and developing quarterbacks in an offense that wasn't archaic is when Jimbo Fisher was the offensive coordinator.
Yep.
So this is a theme. This is a trend at why this guy is so good. He turned a quarterback into something special last night, and this kid will only get better. No man in this league or no man on Sundays is better at bringing a team out of the locker room and having them believe in themselves. And Jimbo Fisher was an amazing comeback.
Sean, Leonard Fournette was so strong last year that he sparked a bit of a debate as to whether or not he should even come back for his second season and maybe even just take the year off until he's eligible for the draft. If you were in his position, would you have come back to LSU?
I don't believe in the take the year off and sit out as a college kid. I do believe if you're eligible to go to the NFL draft, you do it in his case. I do, especially as a running back, when there's not a whole lot of, I mean, we'll milk 7 or 8 years, 9 years of your life. You hit 30, man, we got you. We milked it all out of you. Leonard Fournette, you know, interesting case. But when you're with your, if you're with any draft eligible, I think he's what now? Is a true junior? Is that what he is now?
Yeah.
Because he was a true sophomore last year, so he couldn't come out. But I, just like when Clowney was talking about when he was out South Carolina, I'm not a big believer in, because I think you let your teammates down. Oh, I'm a sophomore, but I don't think there can be a more selfish move, although there's a lot of selfish athletes to say, well, I'm a sophomore, I'm the best player on your team. You guys go play. I'm going to sit at home and just train and wait for my turn to come up. You sign a scholarship, you go play. So I like the fact that he did that. Now, had he been a redshirt sophomore or draft eligible after last year, he'd have been, you take him in the first 5 picks, he's a full-grown man. But I can tell you this. If you're a good football player there and you're draft eligible and you're at a perimeter position and the scouts like you, leave, because the quarterback position will bury you there. I train a kid, and I'll leave his name out, who right now is 6'6". He's the best sophomore in the country. If he's not first, he's not third. Every school in the country wants him. I'm going to tell you, right, if they knocked on his door now, I'm not so sure I'd encourage him to go there. Not because he's great fans, great place, an awesome place. But you go there to die as a quarterback. You just do. They won't let the governor on. I mean, it's uncanny. 5-star quarterbacks become 2-star players at LSU at that position while everybody else is great.
the opposite of Bill Snyder at Kansas State. He takes a two-star recruit and turns him into a four-star player, and they compete well with everybody. So I don't know what it is. Les Miles can recruit, but there's no bigger – and when it comes to airhead and boneheaded ways to deal with a quarterback, I just don't get it for a guy who wins 9 or 10 games every year, how awful it is. So, yeah, they got a long way to go. But if you're draft eligible and you're talented, leave. If you're a quarterback, especially at that school, because the running back's going to get beat up and the quarterback's not going to get much more development.
Sean Salisbury joining us this morning on The Drive. I've got to ask you about the situation with the Vikings. I think when Teddy Bridgewater went down, everyone's scratching their heads, wondering what they're going to do. They trade for Sam Bradford. I don't know that I think this is the best option, but was it just the best available option for them?
Best available, but man alive. I think Sam Bradford's a nice kid. I think he's just a below average quarterback. I think he's a middle of the road. I think he's just a guy. I do. And his offseason bothered me when they draft the first round, and he's talking about, I don't really want to compete. I want to be guaranteed. But what has he done to guarantee that he should be the guy? He hasn't. And keeping him on the field is another thing. Now, I trust Vikings offensive coordinator and their head coach. I've known Norv a long time, and he'll work well with him. Sam's a smart guy. But I said on Twitter, and now if they end up making the playoffs, then, you know, I don't have a problem standing up saying he proved me wrong this year. I've been wrong many times before. But I said trading – it legalized theft for the Eagles to get a first and a fourth for Bradford. Talk about desperation. They were going to cut him this offseason. I mean, after this year, they'd have cut him. They're going to play Wentz anyway. They would have cut him or asked somebody, you want to trade for a fifth-round pick to take on this salary? They would have cut him. So now the Vikings, because of an injury to Bridgewater, you get him. I said it's like giving a first-round pick for Bradford would be like giving an Academy Award to the movie Snakes on a Plane. I mean, it is like, what? But it's desperation now. The middle of the road, got a great running back, got some good receivers. You added Treadwell. Your defense is pretty nasty. Mike Zimmer can coach. The Vikings have high hopes. If Bradford can stay on the field, is he a better option than Sean Hill? Yeah. Of course, better option than Sanchez? Yeah. But is he worth a first and a fourth round pick? Absolutely not. But, you know, needs and the rest of it. And if he gets them to the playoffs, I will. He has a good season. I'll stand up and cheer him on. I just don't. I think this is a big time reach for a first round pick. I wouldn't have done it if I was the Vikings. But I'm gonna tell you what: as the Eagles, you lost your first rounder to Wentz. Now you get one back. God bless you.
Sean, I'm going to wind this question around a bit. There's a debate in the NBA, as you know, as to whether or not the three-point shot is the way to go and the big man is dead. And some people wonder, is that because of strategy or because of lack of big men? In the NFL, you have kind of a similar debate with running backs, where a lot of teams have gone to two and three back rotations. Is it because NFL offenses are moving away from running the ball, or is it because of a lack of talent? That being said, Derrick Henry and Ezekiel Elliott come into the NFL this year. You mentioned Leonard Fournette. Now you've got Dalvin Cook. You've got Christian McCaffrey. And Nick Chubb coming off that injury and busting for a triple deuce, 222 against a good North Carolina team. Are we on the verge of seeing that trend change in the NFL with all those backs going in over a two-year period?
We better be, Dave. I was talking about that yesterday on my show. I said we've devalued the running back in the NFL. I mean, heck, even Derrick Henry, we moved him to the second round. 10 years ago, we'd have drafted him in the first round.
Yep.
But we did with you know, what Mike Shanahan used to do in Denver and getting guys in the fifth round. You saw when Alfred Morris had that big year in Washington, late, you know, mid-round draft pick. I mean, so it works out, so it becomes a trend like everything else. If the 46 defense is great, we trend into the 46 defense. If spread offenses are working, we trend and we go there, and it's cyclical. And then all of a sudden, we start to creep our way back to some traditional stuff. It happens. And this position has been devalued. But I'll tell you, as a former quarterback and an average one, I can assure you this. We devalue them, but the players don't. Because when there's 4 minutes to go in the game and we need three first downs to kill the clock, who do you think we need? We want Marshawn Lynch in the backfield, or we want Leonard Fournette, or we want Todd Gurley. Trust me, when Lynch was playing, you know, you think Seattle didn't value that? And it's the same when it's 3rd and 1 on the one, and we got to go, or 2nd and 1 inside the 3, and we got to go 3 plays, and we got to knock them right in their mouth. Bill Parcells didn't devalue the running back. He always said, "Bring your own blocker, buddy," because it's low man wins, and it's an attitude. Running is an attitude, and so I do think that we're starting to bring it back. You watch Henry; he'll share time with Murray. Well, Elliott probably going to be the rookie of the year behind that line. You start to look at what Todd Gurley's done. Heck, Jeff Fisher even tells his guys during that hard knocks, "Don't bring him to the ground. So while they're devalued in the draft because we think we can get a third rounder, the great ones are the great ones. They don't just they don't fall off a turnip truck and land in the league. And you're right. I'm looking, and let's not forget what Freeman at Oregon.
Yep.
Heck, Shock Linwood's not going to be a first round pick, but this kid's a home run hitter at Baylor. You mentioned Chubb. You mentioned McCaffrey. You mentioned Dalvin Cook. You mentioned Leonard Fournette. I mean, how can you not say, man, look at Todd Gurley, and why wouldn't I run Leonard Fournette out there and help my young quarterback or help my quarterback and run it 25 times a game with him? So I do think for the first time in a while that next year we could have four or five first-round picks. Now, we may not, but I know right now when you look at them on paper, there's four or five guys that are first-round talent. Now it just depends on if you're the Tennessee Titans, you're not going to take one because you got one in the second round. But if you're a team that you think, oh, my gosh, there's a 26th pick and Nick Chubb's sitting there and he can give me some Todd Gurley love, yeah, I'll jump all over it. So I don't devalue them. The NFL has for whatever reason because of success. And when you get that guy who we call a bell cow, mm-hmm. who can load you up and take you to places, you draft him. And there's a bunch of those guys in this draft next year.
Sean Salisbury joining us on KHTK. Sean, you guys were talking about Christian McCaffrey, and we've seen guys like that before in college. And frankly, Reggie Bush kind of comes to mind, dudes that just look like they're playing a video game out there. And every time they touch the ball, no matter how it is, they're a threat to score. I'm just curious, what does Christian McCaffrey look like to you as an NFL player? What does he do in that sense?
I'm actually shocked when I see, I guess we call him an expert, an analyst, or somebody write that, oh, McCaffrey's, you know, not an every down back and he should be okay in the NFL. I'm shocked when I see that. I'm a Reggie Bush fan, always have been. He's an SC guy. McCaffrey's better.
Wow.
And he's bigger. McCaffrey's about 6'1", 205 pounds. This is not just a little boy running through people because he's quick. He will knock you your you know what right in the dirt. This is a, first of all, smart family, great athletic family, tough. His dad, Eddie, was tough. This kid, I'm telling you now, he'll rush for 1,200 yards from the backfield, and if you put him in the slot as a rookie, he'll catch 100 balls if he's with the right quarterback. So I don't care where you play him. He can take the punishment. This is a stud. I don't know. He should have won the Heisman last year. I don't disrespect Deshaun Watson Derrick Henry,
yeah.
But the best player in college football last year was Stanford's running back. There's no question about it. You look at the yards from behind the line of scrimmage, your return game in the slot, no matter where you put him, that kid will be playing in a Pro Bowl, and he instantly makes your team better. So he's tough, he's fast, he's strong, he's smart, he's talented, he's a great teammate. What's not to like? He's durable. So to me, he may not be the first back taken because he's not the 6'3", 220-pound Fournette, and I get it. But there's no more versatile player on not only on Saturday right now. Find me a guy on Sunday who right now is more, I guess, Antonio Brown because he can return kicks, play wide receiver. But you find me a more versatile player on Sunday right now than Christian McCaffrey. You can't find it. I've looked. I haven't found it. The guy can do it. He's Marshall Faulk with more speed. That's what he is.
Ooh.
He's Marshall Faulk.
Wow.
He's not as big in the backfield. Obviously, Marshall's a better pure runner. But I'm talking about, you know, we could line up Marshall Faulk at wide receiver. The way he, with formations, the way you could move him around, he's not as pure a runner as Marshall from the backfield, but he's a better receiver, and Marshall was a great receiver and a smart player. That's the type of guy he is. You can deploy him anywhere, and he creates mismatch problems. I think that Christian McCaffrey is a grown man. I have no problem drafting him high in the first round. He's a difference maker on a franchise.
So put on the hat of all the other GMs in the NFL, not you, but the way GMs work. 6 foot, 220, unanimous All-American, Doak Walker Award, Jim Brown Trophy, Offensive Player of the Year, Heisman Trophy runner-up, first-team All-Pac-10. Now, of course, the guy I'm talking about, the running back for Stanford, is Toby Gerhart back in 2009. Are there going to be some guys out there in the NFL that are going to punish Christian McCaffrey for Toby Gerhart?
Well, of course they are. Sure. And you should, and just like with USC quarterback, and I'm being serious, that we've had some guys getting drafted in the first round. We've had a bad run of SC quarterbacks and their success on Sundays in the last, 15 years. Pump Palmer's been good, but, you know, there's been some guys that have struggled at times. Yeah, but I'm telling you, Dave, those two, as much as I love Kobe's toughness, they can't even dress in the same area when it comes to football players.
Yeah.
So there will be some. Oh, well, you know, oh, he's a white running back. Oh, another white running back. Oh, he's He's got similar size in 06-1. He's not as big as Gerhardt, but he's a running back who ran for a lot of yards and was pretty versatile. Toby was a good football player. They're not even in the same, you know. I always find it funny. I mean, why can't I compare Christian McCaffrey to Reggie Bush? We did. Isn't it funny how we always seem to have to, the people out there always have to compare, a Stanford white running back. We laugh about this on our show. Why can't I compare Christian McCaffrey to LeSean McCoy?
We had this conversation about a month ago with someone else. I forget who it was. We were talking about Jameis Winston, and we all agreed that the best comparison for Jameis Winston was Ben Roethlisberger. But for the same reason, you don't see that comparison that often.
Oh, exactly. It's true. Both kind of awkward in the pocket, but extend the play. Both big, strong arm. Yeah, they're both winners. Exactly. So I laugh at this, but yeah. And it's not disrespect to Toby Gerhardt. He was a hell of a college player, sure. and gave you some toughness on Sunday. The fellas, that's a whole different world we're talking about, the difference between McCaffrey and Gerhardt. And I'd be shocked if Toby Gerhardt didn't admit the same thing.
Last thing for you, because we got to wrap up. We always appreciate your time. Sean, we saw the rosters get finalized over the weekend in the NFL, and you played for quite a while with the Minnesota Vikings, but I'm sure there was a time and a place during your career where you looked for whatever it is, the little pink slip in your locker, or what is it, the guy called the Turk that comes and gets you. Talk about the final day of cut downs for a player.
It's not easy. Well, you know, we're watching games, you know, we'll joke and say, who cares about the fourth preseason game? I don't care about that. Who cares about the first preseason game? I mean, it means football's back and we're excited. And I try to caution myself at times because I say, you know, who cares? Is that dude whose life's going to change either good or either for the better, that he's a sixth rounder and he can't believe he made a squad that's going to change his family's life and he's going to go to a Pro Bowl, or he's going to make a squad for 4 years and make enough money to go back to grad school or just whatever. He's going to fulfill a lifelong dream. And then there's the guy who makes it to the final cut and he's the last guy that they call in, and then he's going to get, you know, then maybe somebody else will pick him up, put him on a practice squad. Maybe they won't. Maybe it's a 9-year veteran that this is it. That he thinks he's got two more years in him, but he'll never, and he's not even, he just turned 30, 31, and he's never going to play again. That the greatest, that the one thing that we love to do and knew how to do, you no longer get to do it because of age, and your life's just starting, and you're only 30 years old, and you're never going to get a chance to play again. And there's that kid whose family's going crazy. I can remember when I made my first team, because I'm drafted, sixth quarterback on the draft in Seattle, on the roster, and made the team when camp started. I was the sixth guy. I can never forget the feeling when Chuck Knox shook my hand and congratulated me. I thought, honestly, it was the greatest feeling of my life. I couldn't believe that I just made an NFL team as the sixth quarterback on the roster. So, and I can remember the first time they told me that they were going in a different direction. Your heart goes into your stomach. You think, what am I going to do next? You hope somebody picks you up. So it is a complete life changer both ways. Some guys will keep fighting and milk it any way they can, which is great. I mean, hey, you only get so many chances. And then some guy's going to wake up and he's going to go check his first paycheck and he's going to say, man, this sure beat $30,000 at, you know, working as a salesman on commission. So, yeah, I was very blessed, and it's a great time and then a sad time for others. So that fourth preseason and that second preseason game may not mean anything to us, but it means a lot to them. Mm-hmm.
He's the best guest in sports radio today, in my opinion. Sean Salisbury giving us a segment every single Monday. Usually at 8:05, we move stuff around, and he was nice enough to join us at 7:35. Buddy, next week when we talk, we're going to have a whole weekend of NFL. Check Sean out, of course, at Sean Unfiltered on Twitter. Thanks, my man.
Always appreciate you three. Thank you.